find the time, freedom, and financial independence you can have through entrepreneurship. Whether you're a buyer, seller, franchisee, franchisor, or consultant, find everything you need to know about franchising right here. Welcome to the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.
Welcome to the Level Up Show with Nick Lopez, where we have the absolute pleasure of learning from thought leaders in business, franchising, and high performance, personal development. Today's guest, my goodness, we certainly have a special guest. I'm excited to have him on the show. Why? Well, because in the world of AI and technology and information, frankly, you can't move fast enough. And this individual is on the forefront of AI and technology. So personally, I'm very excited to have him on the show. He is the founder of Franchise Now. Rob Ganley, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I was starting to blush a little. Thank you for the build up there. It's great to be on the show. I love the show. Thanks.
Pleasure having you on, my friend. So my goodness, you talk about franchising, right? And so many folks think of McDonald's or Burger King, and they don't necessarily understand that as long as it's ethical, moral, and makes money, it can be franchised. And that includes something like a painting company here at Lime. My point is, Rob, most folks don't raise their hand as they're growing up and say, I'm going to get into franchising. So my question to you, how did franchising find you?
I love that question, and I think it's a pretty common answer. It's a different version of a similar answer that many give. So I started my journey in the world after graduating college in the early 90s, and it was in 92, actually, which if you're a techie buff, you'll know that the first website was launched in 91. So we didn't have internet in college. So it just, we had computers, but it wasn't an internet world yet. So I was always fascinated with computers. My father had a computer background. He was an executive, like a CIO role. He ended his career on that and always encouraged me to be interested in technology. Of course, I didn't quite follow that. I was finance and marketing in college. But I immediately decided I wanted to be in sales and I wanted to be in technology. And so I took that from the early 90s to the early 2000s. And I was able to really see that first wave of technology emerge. But in doing that, worked in the big corporate world and worked for some big brand names and learned a lot. And I appreciate that journey because it did teach me a ton. But when the early 2000s rolled around, I really started to get that feeling like, you know, I don't know if I could be this role the rest of my career. I really feel like I want to own something, build something, have control of the impact I make in people's lives. And I just wanted to figure that out. And so there was this side of the internet where I was serving, you know, early startups like Match.com, for instance, you know, that were in their early phases. And I was helping them with computers and all the technology they needed to run their businesses. And I just remember the excitement that these guys, all the people I talked to, it's just this opportunity and this optimism. And I just thought, man, this is exciting. I want to do something like what they're doing. But then I had a conversation with my wife and we talked a lot and it was like, well, I don't know. That might be a little too risky to start an internet business, although you're knowledgeable, but you know, maybe franchises would be, maybe we should look at what they're doing. And so I did. And I started going through that journey of looking for a potential business model that would fit. And then in doing that, I really became aligned with the broker model, the consultant model, because the guys that were helping me, I'm thinking that looks pretty fun. I like the way you get to work with all these brands and different models and share that with people. And I'm like, and I'm not quite sure what I want to do yet, but I really want to learn about all these different things. So I became trained as a franchise consultant. And then in doing that and building in the, first launching that business, I started my technical brain started to kick in and my passion for internet started to kick in. This is 2003. And I remember thinking, well, how the heck can I meet new people? And there were some ways to do it online, but I'm like, I don't think that's the best way. I think this Google thing might be better. That was pretty, I think they launched in 2003, their AdWords program. And I remember how cool that was. So I decided to build my own, what we would call funnel or landing page. And I put together a really cool guide on how people could serve, you know, come into the industry and look for a franchise, like a process guide kind of thing, and named it and started marketing on Google. And boom, there was an explosion. And it was like I was the only one that decided to do it. So I realized I had something that I couldn't potentially harness myself as an individual. So I thought maybe others would want what I had that did what I did. So I launched a lead generation company, was what I would characterize it as, you know, the first version of Franchise Now. And that's how I got into franchising.
Wow. It was really based on opportunity. And that's what's great about franchising. It's often called or known as one of the largest industries, but it's so small. In reality. So it touches pretty much every industry and provides so many different opportunities. And even when it's a new opportunity like the internet or whatever it may be, or currently AI, franchising touches every part of the marketplace.
Absolutely. Yeah, I always say to people, it's a collection of small businesses with big leverage, you know, but we're all just business owners, you know, and it's just not a corporate sort of feel. It's a collection of small business owners, but a lot of leverage in the industry. It's a big industry. So feels small though, once you're in it. So.
Yeah. And made up of a lot of small business owners in business together, right? That is a franchise organization.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah, so awesome. So, Rob, tell me about your company, Franchise Now. What is that?
Well, I feel like it was originally a call to action, right? It was Franchise Now, right? It means a lot to me. It's been in my life over 20 years. It started as the lead generation company I shared with you. It then evolved into a consulting company, where I worked with different brands and different businesses, insurance, technology, again, many different industries actually represented. But so I did that for a while. I also helped launch a software company, you know, as part of that consulting. And again, all pointed at the franchise industry, to serve the franchise industry. So, but Franchise Now is today an AI consultancy and service provider. And it's really about AI transformation, which I think, much like franchising for me, touches the heart. It's about making sure we keep doing what we're doing, serving our communities with good works, our best, like who we are. I just think AI is the opportunity to level up, as if I can borrow the name of your show. But that's what Franchise Now is, to help be not only a provider of services, but also a guidepost, you know, to this massive change that I know is upon us.
What do you mean by that massive change that's upon us?
Well, you know, I think the capabilities of AI are not isolated. We have blockchain, we have quantum computing. These three technologies are transformational in ways we can't even probably understand. If you were to watch a sci-fi movie today, you could say, yep, absolutely doable, no problems. And even beyond that, you can't even think of it yet. So it's, but we have to, the challenge of the guys on the technology side is to allow the world to adapt, right? It's not so how fast they can release it. It used to be that. It used to be, hey, let's hurry up and get something cool and upgrade and bring it to the market. Now it's, we got a backlog of that. And it's almost like we're still getting used to it, right? So we got to go slow. And so, yeah, folks will just have to adapt to using these great new capabilities, but it's not as intuitive as you might think. It is if you're around it all the time. But when you're in your day job all day, it's hard to really understand, okay, in 5 or 10 years, what could this look like? And how do we stay focused on our vision and our mission as a company? And I think it's going to be possible, but it's going to look different for all of us in not that long of a time. If you look at most transformations, like the Industrial Revolution, things like that, it took much longer. Even the internet took much, much longer before it was just a simple, everybody was accessing it, right? Maybe the late 2010s, right? I said the early 90s, late 2000s, right? And then into the mobile era. And it became something where pretty much everybody used it like a utility. But prior to that, it was a process of getting used to it and figuring out where does it fit. And AI is like that, but moving much quicker. Its usefulness and utility is already there. It's just a matter of how do we inject it into a world that does it a different way. So that's what I mean by that. I think there's a little bit of a stress to that, a little emotion to that. There's obviously uncertainty. And so I think our job is to make sure that mission and vision is intact, no matter how we deploy AI. This is about improving and making things better. So
yeah, you talk a lot about AI being like a propeller for a franchisor. And that's pretty straightforward, but what does that kind of mind shift, how does that create success?
Well, I think it's first understanding, if you put it in a very plain way, right? If your competitors, like, and everybody has competitors in their mind, whatever they do, they think of others that do what they do. If you said to yourself, you have 10 people on your team and you're one of the guys down the street has 10 people on his team, what if everybody on the other guy's team could do things 3 times faster than you at a third of the cost? Would that matter? And the reality is it does that, right? If you deploy it, if you embrace it and deploy it. Starts with the individual, starts with the personnel you have and equipping them in the best way you can so that they can do their job, but potentially do it way better than they ever have and have more time for the things that you always wanted them to have time for, which is usually something to do with customer relationships and internal relationships. But that the propeller is just embracing it because the power is already there. It's just that you have to go ahead and strap the propeller on and flip the switch. But they're sitting there waiting for you to put them on. And a lot of the technology is free. I mean, it's kind of like using Google search back in 2003 and 4. And I told you very few people were eyeballing the franchise or competing for the eyeballs that people were looking for franchises on Google. But often there wasn't a lot of competitors. So that's why I was able to really hit the ground running. I was kind of to call it timing, right? If you want. But that's what I mean by the propeller. It really is something that every individual in your company can be more productive. That's it, period. You can do that now. So that's kind of what I mean.
Much like the internet, right?
Yeah, much like the internet. But AI is something that, so like the internet, I told you, like in 1991, the first website was created. There was absolutely no utility to that. There was nothing cool if you're real techie. Like, that's cool. But there was no purpose. It wasn't going to help anyone. In fact, most of the 90s were like that. You know, I did work for some really large companies and they had some great technology in place and took advantage of some internet technology. And we're talking the largest companies in the world. And honestly, I don't think most everyday smaller businesses, franchises were even touching it in the 90s very much. And then in the 2000s, maybe you start deploying websites, right? And that was becoming a thing where we should really start to have websites. And then in the 2010s, the mobile push, it really gave people this idea that I can barely be without my phone now. Like it's really helpful now. I feel like the day AI, like I've been involved in AI prior to the technology of AI, prior to the big splash of OpenAI's ChatGPT, which if you haven't learned about that, you should go over and check that out. ChatGPT, that's all you got to do. Now there's many other tools like it, including Google has their own. But these are free tools. And the very first day I tested that tool, it was able to do things for me that I knew I could use in my day-to-day business immediately that would improve my productivity and cut my time investment. Even day one, I saw that. It was kind of hard to get your head around. Immediately looked at it and said, what does this mean? Is this going to start replacing people? Or it's doing a lot of things that I used to outsource to other people. We have, just to be make comment on that comment, is that everything about Franchise Now is about empowering people and making the world a better place to be. And but there is going to be massive change. There is going to be. And I hope the leaders of the world all put people first, because ultimately, as I said to you before, AI has immediate utility. It can transform your business. If you deploy it the right way, it can really help your teams, again, do things much faster at a much lower amount of time. And so just using that across all of your employees helps you see, wow, right? And of course, it's all about the business models and looking at certain processes. You have to do it the right way and prioritize it the right way, but it is immediately useful, which the internet took a long time. It was hard to get a lot out of it in the early 2000s. I was really interested, so I dove in and learned it. But it wasn't like I could just throw up a website and, you know, build campaigns that easily. It was a lot more manual. But I still thought it was amazing. Oh my gosh, I can put ads in front of people all over the world. I just thought that was amazing. So used to the idea that any kind of marketing like that would be corporate marketing. You couldn't afford putting your brand out there all over the place, right? But with the internet, you could choose to for a few bucks if you wanted to advertise somewhere. And so it was very interesting. But yeah, I'd say AI since 2022, when that occurred, when ChatGPT was released, the amount of the capability, what it can do for a company is far beyond what companies are actually using it for right now. And it's just a matter of saying, okay, we're going to take a look. We're going to see where this can work and start working that into your process and your culture. And franchisors tend to be those people anyway. You're always innovating. You're always looking for new ways of doing things. That's all I'm really saying, is that keep your eyes open, be willing to pilot, but there are things now that will put that propeller on your back.
What are some surprisingly simple AI tools or tips and tricks that could be implemented as quickly as this week?
If you go to ChatGPT with an open mind, as a person that has acquired knowledge, now everybody's in a different place. I'm assuming our audience is many people in their careers now and leaders, and they've been doing what they've been doing for a little while. They have knowledge. So if you go to ChatGPT and you start letting it lead you through, start with the question, what do I need to tell you to do X? You know, what do you need from me? It's garbage in, garbage out idea. So anyone who's maybe not understood, sometimes it'll give you something back. If you give it something, it is aligned with what you're supposed to give it. And so there is a structure to how you can, what we call prompt it, you know, prompt it, natural language, right? But start with asking it, what do I need to give you? What would you need for me to do X task? Then it'll give you what it is. Then you're going to bring the context, bring your skill sets, bring your knowledge, and talk to it as if it's something that knows everything, right? If it memorized everything on the internet, then it probably can write like your favorite writer. It probably understands certain strategies and best practices that you've been taught or learned. And so if you start talking to it, saying, I want you to use these techniques from these authors to solve this problem and create this content or whatever that might be, that level of being specific, it will produce results for you that is mind-blowing in seconds, right? I mean, it would take you hours to create the kind of content it'll write. I find myself looking at it sometimes and go, write faster, write faster. I mean, go up and get a cup of coffee and sip it for two or three drinks. But it would have normally taken me days, right? And, you know, it's funny how we adjust to that, right? We started getting impatient with it. But no, really, it just going to ChatGPT, and if you're not already doing this, you know, just think about the tasks you do each day that take the most time and ask yourself, what can I, you know, even ask it that. Say, here are the things that take me a lot of time every day. What would you recommend? And, you know, so use it as your tool to brainstorm and understand, but then use your mind or your brain as the filter, as the way of crafting what you need. So you still need to bring your expertise. In fact, people that have lived longer have the advantage. Stop saying I'm not technical. You remove that from your language, because many people in business say that, because we were raised that way in it. That's how we were taught. Wait for the IT department to show you. So it's really not the way it is. It's really, hey, go to this technology and interact with it like you're speaking to a colleague that's really smart, or another really smart person at a mastermind that that you really respect. And it's like, they don't mind talking to you for hours, right? And brainstorming. So it's more that openness. I feel like if you bring that, you don't need as much. Now, granted, there are people like me that provide services when you get into more complexities and more, you know, being thoughtful about your brand voice and how you want to sound and what the task is going to do, you know, what are those? But you can go to it right now today and have it create things for you that you were probably doing manually and that are you're going to look at and say, man, that's way better than I could do. So that's just the reality.
Yeah, 100%. And somebody like myself is going to do a much better job. And to your point, it never gets tired. It never says no. It doesn't even get a flinch of frustration when you tell it to refine and revise and give it some more of this or that.
You know, just what you just said, I mean, think about how people learn. I remember thinking, how many times I felt uncomfortable in my life asking someone follow-up questions. Like whether it's a college professor or your mom or dad or your mentor or your coach, or it's just our nature to say, okay, I think they're too busy now. They're okay, they gave me enough. I got to go. With AI, it's take your time. Like it's there today, tomorrow, 5 minutes from now. And the relaxation of learning that way and it's just a different way of approaching things. And I find it to be the fastest way. I've probably become smarter in my life in the last 3 years than ever before, just because I can learn all kinds of things. Things I just didn't, like you hear a conversation, someone uses a word, you're like, man, that's a good word. I haven't heard that yet. What is exactly that word? But you could ask AI anything. And it really is, while you're doing your job, while you're producing, you're learning. And it's just, it's the most natural way to learn. So I love it for that.
Do you use Google anymore?
I do, but I'm glad that they put AI at the top of their results. They are using AI quite a bit now, depending on the search. And I do use ChatGPT, or you can use Gemini. I Google Gemini. It's a great tool too. I think it's fantastic. It's just for me, I'm zeroed in a lot on ChatGPT because in the early days, right? And I want to help people the most I can. So I want to be an expert at one thing, but I also am aware of all the others. But I think taking advantage of AI for not just search the way we used to think about it. So okay, yes, I still use Google, but the truth is I want an AI output more than I want a Google page, okay? A Google page still requires more research. You got to dial into each page, see what it's saying, gather what you need, and maybe that helps. And it helped us it served us well for 15, 20 years. But I don't think it does the work that an AI response can do, right? So I do use AI a lot more for what I would call what I used to use Google for research and things.
Yeah, you've been talking a lot about something. I want to change gears. Funnels are, you know, pretty 2010, right? And you're championing AI-powered flywheels. What's the one stat that makes that argument explode?
I like franchise development is obviously a type of marketing and sales near and dear to all of our hearts and which drives the industry and the growth. In the world of franchise development, and most of us know what that looks like. So you've got options. You've got agencies you can work with to drive traffic to your pages, your funnels, right? You've got third parties you can partner with that have websites that can send you leads or put your offers in front of folks. And you've got also professionals that are consultants that help people, bring them into the industry and guide them and you know, the broker networks and such. And I think one of the biggest challenges is that, you know, starting a franchise is a big life decision. And I know we all know that. But that also means you may think about it for a very long time. And there may be many years where you think you want to do it and then you pull back. You think you want to do it and then you pull back. And we know how hard it can be to take that step right out into the unknown. So some folks may, you know, maybe some trouble at work and then they go do some searches and then maybe it simmers down, they give it another year. and they're back in that spot. So I think most people that are entrepreneurial that will do that type of research, they do it potentially for many years before the timing aligns. The idea that, so that's one aspect. The other aspect is when they are searching and they're looking for information, they kind of want to figure it out. They have that itch to try to scratch it. So the stat that we mostly have not looked at, two stats in the franchise marketing process, right? When you want to meet someone who never heard of your brand and they're thinking about starting a business, at the top of that funnel, it's they do something like fill a form, right? When that happens, all the stats in the world tell you you're supposed to respond quickly. Okay, for a lot of us, we know that. Maybe you've been told that by vendors. They say, you need to respond to those leads within 5 minutes. And if you do, you have a better chance of getting a hold of them. And that really is dependent on the type of thing you're doing, but it is mostly true in most things. And so that stat, that speed stat, is not something most franchisors really zero in on and look at their teams and say, okay, everybody, let me see how many leads did you get yesterday and how fast did you respond? What are those numbers? What's the average? And I know that we're not doing that because it's quite hard to ask a person who has to wear other hats and they're in meetings, they're helping others, maybe they're not feeling well, maybe they're off, maybe it's nighttime, maybe it's weekend. So they can't necessarily, they can't really do that consistently. It would be unreasonable, really. But that is a metric that is, if you can do that, you will create a much higher connection rate, which again, that connection rate isn't something you really think about much. If you can connect with more people and have that first conversation, it will change the back end of your funnel, period. All you got to do is do the math. Just change the numbers a little bit. If we talk to this many people, how many go here, here, and here? Because at some point, you know, from the first conversation on, most franchisors know the steps and they know how many people, your CRM or something like that, can tell you exactly the numbers from there. But those first numbers were connection rate and booking rate. So first it's connecting with people, and then it's making sure they show up for that first introduction meeting or discovery call, the time you have a chance to really understand them and vet them. And of course, only certain people should probably be in that call. So maybe a little bit in that first part, that when you connect with them and you schedule that first meeting, you want to qualify them a little bit, make sure that this is, they're in the right, you know, at least the right, you know, time zone of the situation. So those two metrics, the connection rate and booking rate, so the booking rate is more influenced by once you do have that quick call, now you want to put them in front of the team. You know, maybe there was a little qualification conversation, but or maybe not. Maybe you're booking the meeting as best you can, answering some questions. Then it's the follow-up of, do they show up? And I know a lot probably do, but there is a percentage that don't. And so again, there's a way to make sure that these numbers are closer to 100%. You know, so if it were 70%, now it's 90%, we get a hold of, you know, instead of 7 out of 10 people, we get a hold of 9 out of 10 people. And instead of 3/4 of those people show up, all of them show up. You just take that math deeper into your funnel and you'll see revenue numbers that will quadruple. Okay, so those two metrics were very hard to manage. And it was really hard for people to do that. With AI, as we said earlier, it is always there. It's always ready for a response. It's always happy to answer the questions. And we can train and structure the AI to really understand your brand, speak with your voice, right? And be extremely helpful in any possible way. And to ensure that we connect with most of these folks and book most of them on that discovery call. If that happens, the math changes immediately with the same exact marketing. So that's kind of what I mean by that flywheel effect.
Right. Well said. Speed to lead is critical. So somewhat along those lines, I wanted to ask you, Rob, you know, by the way, this has been awesome content. I am certainly leveling up. If you are as well, drop a comment down below. Like the show, subscribe. It's how we're able to continue to grow and bring thought leaders like Rob onto the show. So my next question to you, Rob, it's a good one. What mistakes are you seeing franchisors making today when it comes to AI?
Playing it safe. I know the inherent inertia of making sure you do right by your franchisees. And that is exactly what you should be doing. And a lot of, and I will tell you, every technological breakthrough over the last 20 some years has a lot, you know, kind of had a hype cycle. And then it's like, okay, we'll implement that. And for some, it really may have been a game changer, some things, right? With AI, it is absolutely a game changer. It is an immediate game changer. It does take a little of embracing it in different ways, just starting with your people, just starting with making sure your people are equipped to be more productive. And again, so the hesitancy is that we don't want to test too many things too much, change things too much. And I understand that. But the only way you'll know what works and what will fit best right now is to get into a culture of innovation and speed of piloting. And just don't look at it like we don't know if it's going to solve this yet. We're testing it. And so just get good at that, because you will find that much quicker than you might have found with social media. Right. Social media is a nice breakthrough. Mobile is a nice breakthrough and be able to reach people in different ways, but still very much about aligning it. And I don't think it would impact you the same way AI would, because as I said, if your competitor down the street decides he likes AI and he's naturally interested, he equips all his people, I guarantee you they're all more productive. They're probably happier too. And, you know, if that starts to happen, how many years do you think it'll take before they start to outpace you? So I wouldn't take another year or two to decide we're going to start using AI in certain places. And that I think I'm seeing that inertia. I'm seeing that slowness, because it's been 3 years and I still feel like maybe we'll get to it. Like, I don't think I would do that, because some of your best competitors are already embracing it. You just don't maybe feel it yet. But the feeling, once it comes, like, how are they doing that? How are they delivering this? That'll happen, and it'll be very hard for you to catch up. So these next 5 years are critical years. And 2025 is that, my call to action to you is start testing. Start you know, figuring out how can we deploy it inside our organization, not just services, but for your people too. You know, how are they using it, and what can we do to up our game? Up our game internally, or level up, as we say, right? Across the board in every department. So that's what
do you notice, right? Yeah, well said. And as you were talking, I was thinking, you know, what are some common reservations that the team has when it comes to adopting AI?
Great question. And I think that is some of the root of it, right? One, as I said, my company, we're all about making people empowered, right? It's not trying to come in and figure out how we can change the P&L by replacing people with AI at all. It's the opposite. Now, I will say, if you have a certain team today, you may not have to hire as much to get to the different thresholds that you may want to get to. And I think we all just have to brace for that. That is true. I think more opportunities will come for all those that maybe, you know, they don't get hired at these jobs. You know, they used to hire a lot of people every year. Now they're not hiring as much. But there'll be other companies. So, but I think the hesitation is, you know, this idea that we're somehow going to replace people or change the team or, you know, scare our employees or whatever. And I'd say the next part of that is to think that AI somehow can't be like you are or have the heart you have, right? It can communicate quite well now. It can be optimized to be on brand and to speak with your heart and do a great job. As I said, it's just like we said earlier, how we learn, it's going to delight your customers, right? And it can be built with your heart, your mission, your vision, your values. And so I think it's the idea that it's somehow going to make a mistake. I mean, we've all used automation, and automation in our life, the last 20, 30 years, whatever, calling an 800 number, talking to an automated system, they don't know anything what you're saying. They're just repeating themselves. It's frustrating, right? We've all been there. I feel like they feel like AI is that. And it's not. It's another thing. It's human-like, right? It's like it would be hard to tell the difference of the stuff I build and I work with and test, the way they talk to me in voice or in text. It's hard. You wouldn't be able to know the difference. It'd be very hard. Maybe I would, because I would look for certain things. I do. I tune in. but it's very hard to spot at this point. And the speed of change is like a tidal wave. So it's not like 6 months from now, it won't be way better. So it's just about embracing it and but I think those two big things, it's like, no, it's not about that. It's about helping them. In fact, there was a study done, Procter & Gamble, Harvard. They equipped employees with AI tools to do certain projects. The net of that whole thing was that these folks were way more productive with AI. In fact, a novice was like an expert with a team. That's how powerful novice was with the AI tool. So it is about that. But I think that's the hesitation, is some of those thoughts.
Yeah. Could you imagine intermediate and advanced and a team following suit versus, as you mentioned, a novice being equivalent to a team of, would you say, experts?
Yeah, it's like an expert with a team is their assessment.
That's incredible. So it sounds like what you're saying is that folks at the core feel like it loses that personal touch. It's prone to mistakes. Okay, I get that, but is it correct for me to say that a good mental shift for folks on the team to make is that AI is an extension of them versus it being against them or something yes. that is outside of them? It's really an expression of you. It's your team.
I love it. I love the way you think, Nick, because one of the taglines I was working with a client on is an AI business, but it wasn't AI. It was human. It was AI to the human power. It was inversed, meaning we humanize the AI. We use AI. We built it. We're using it for what we believe humanity needs, right? Because the capability is probably far beyond anything we can put our head around right now. So it's always got to be humans first. But yes, I do think that's a tremendous way to look at it. That's why I was saying earlier that people that are older, right? We have all this knowledge, experience. Bring that. Yes, AI will just magnify who you are and what you're about and allow you to just do it way better. And you're just, wow, this is such a cool thing because now I can do the work I always wanted to do. What's in my mind for me, I'm not a very artistic person. I'm not a draw. I can't draw or write, but in my mind, I'm very creative. And so AI has been a huge springboard, right, for me, because I'm super creative, but I'm not necessarily like what you would call creative because I don't play guitar or paint paintings, but I am a very creative thinker. And AI has just given me an amazing canvas. So I think everybody can look at it that way.
Quite literally, canvas. Right. It makes your ability to communicate and express yourself and organize your thoughts and not only take the vision, but the implementation and all the steps and bring, frankly, the entire internet to their answer to whatever you need expressed, you know, whether you're an extrovert or introvert. And it does quite a good job of becoming a lot like you from tone to an interaction. And it only gets better and better over time. I love how you mentioned that, Rob. It's like, you know, it's equivalent to a novice having, you know, been turned into an expert with a team. My gosh, when you can think of it that way as a member on a team, now you become an expert with a team. And so what are you going to do with your team? And that directly impacts the output and the quality at which you do your job. And that's, you know, in the franchise world, that's an important job. So you're only contributing at a much higher output, and that's better for everybody, frankly. That has to be done person by person. And you're already 3 years behind, and my gosh, 5 years from now, as you mentioned, it's going to be nearly impossible to catch up. So whether you have a reason or not, you better dive in sooner than later. But this is an important topic, Rob, right? How do you balance the human element and the automation of AI in like a discovery process in franchise development?
Well, you know, a lot of people probably don't realize, but, you know, again, earlier we talked about the idea of prompting, right, and natural language and how we're sculpting the AI to communicate with us or create alongside us. And they don't realize probably that it's like having an employee that you hired that was like, you say to yourself, man, they listen to everything I say. They were so good at it. They, you know, but it's like, you wouldn't expect that same employee to like come in and never tell them anything and just go do that or give them like cryptic instructions and not be clear on anything and then blame them. You know, AI can be built for the task in hand. So you don't have to do everything at once. You could do simple things like maybe it's Q&A. Maybe there are common questions that your franchise development people often have to field or send emails or talk. Wouldn't it be nice if there was an AI that is just excellent at answering 100 questions and you guys decide which questions? It's just really good at answering them. And you direct it, say, look, your job is to answer those 100 questions, not get into any other types of convo. You can send them over to whoever their contact is, right? Who's Sherpa, you know, guiding them through the process, right? And so just that one, to me, that one innovation probably could save you some time. Again, where in the funnel, where in the process might that be? Maybe not upfront. Maybe that's something you share later and give it as a tool, an ongoing tool that person can learn about the brand. And you know, those questions maybe they heard, but they were wondering, what did he say again? And then the AI gives an amazing answer with in writing and maybe a link to a resource. Very hard for people to interact the way an AI can in that sense. But that's not very risky, is it? I mean, if it's sticking with 100 questions that you gave it and you gave it the answers, and you could say, sure, you can give perspective to those answers, right? Because you're smart. But other than that, stay on script, stay with that. And it can do that and see how that works. Like, it's not a huge risk. It's not like you're risking your marketing budget on something. And if it doesn't work right, it's going to make you look bad, or you're going to put something out to the world, like a press release, and not look at it. And it's totally written the wrong way or something. But there are ways, no matter what you're doing, I would say I would do anything AI based. I'm confident of it because I work with it, but you could start slow, right? You don't need to take that big leap. You could just start with little things. And, it's self-reflection on the processes. What are you guys doing? And where are you burning the most cycles? And there's probably an answer there for you.
Right. And you better start figuring it out because your competitors are, or other professionals are gaining traction when it comes to the value that they're able to contribute to missions and franchise partners and home offices and whatever industry you're in. So you better catch up or you're going to get left behind. My goodness. So,
and Nick, I don't mean to interrupt, but it's just, you're speaking to my passion. And I speak to franchisors too pretty regularly. And some are all over it. They're really innovative. Some love it so much, they're creating products. Like one was created a separate product he's selling to the industry because he created it for himself because they're just so, and you know, yeah, exactly. And so you have to ask yourself, which one of your competitors is that guy? Because you gotta start somewhere because some of your competitors are going to be all over it and already have been. So it's, but we're getting to that place where we'll start to be noticeable. It'll start to be noticeable.
What is your crystal ball prediction with AI? Will it empower franchise consultants or will it make them irrelevant in 5 years from now?
I think most relationship-based types of roles will be empowered by AI. And remember, we, the world at large, all of us together, have to decide how to use this amazing power, right? And how to deploy it and let it into the world step by step. And that is challenging because capitalism isn't wired that way. But what I would say is I do believe most of us, if confronted with the choice, will want AI to make us better people, better at what we do, better at relationships. So I think businesses that are focused on relationships will be augmented, right? You'll have a better way to do it. Look, you have more time to spend with people that used to think, man, they're wasting my time because everything else is taken care of. So now you can really zero in on getting to know someone. And you know what I mean? Like but crystal ball predictions are hard. I would say the best game plan is, like you had said earlier, dive in, do something small and watch it work and then keep going from there. But dive in now. And the crystal ball prediction is it's more of a hope. I hope the world is a different place. I hope it changes hearts and minds, right? Because the capabilities that are before us would change the reality of what we need to do to survive in this world, right? And why we've created what we've created. So it's hard to say how things will change totally, but I do know this. If you embrace AI today, you will be at the forefront somewhere making a difference. If you don't, you might feel like the world is kind of pushing you around a little, moving you from thing to thing and, you know, things changing all the time. So my advice is to embrace it and think of it as a better way to be who you are and provide a better service or whatever it is that you do.
Yeah, and that goes for franchisors, vendors, franchise consultants, franchise owners. My goodness, it is about the relationships and whatever you do, stay committed to the relationship and people. That is key. Clearly, AI is simply a tool. And to your point, that's where we want to be intentional with bringing it into our communities and teaching others how to benefit and make the world a better place. So Rob, last question for you. Why do you love franchising so much?
It really enables people I work with, brands and franchisees, franchisors. It enables people to be a better version of themselves and to feel like they've made an impact in their life. They've provided for their family. They've made an impact in the community. They feel like they had their hand in doing that. Not so much a cog in a wheel, like when you're in a big, big thing. Not that that's not for some, they might be okay in that. But I just think for me, it was something on my heart for a very long time. And if it didn't exist, I don't know. Like it taught me so many things, but I just love that it's a collection of small business owners rolling their sleeves up, trying to be their best self and confronting fears that are common to all of us and learning to push through them. Because there are lives you can live where you avoid fear instead of embracing it and saying it's part of the process. It's part of the growth process. And there's so much help and support it's like, you do it, you got to do it, but I'm going to show you and I'll be right alongside you, but you're going to do it. You're going to walk across the coals, right? The hot coals. That's how franchising is. I just didn't sense that or have that in other things that I did in life. And when I got into franchising, I felt it was like a very supportive community based on those ideas and principles, right? Of do it yourself, but we're here with you. In business, for yourself, but not by yourself, those types of phrases. But that's why I love it. And technology is the other passion. I just can take that and put it into the franchising. And now I have two of my favorite passions. So that's why I do it.
Right. As you were talking, I was thinking about, our greatest strength as people is communication and community. And that is the core of franchising. That is what makes it so special. And it is a framework in the marketplace that allows you to build a brand with other brand builders to collectively benefit from the momentum and the enterprise value, the resources, the tools, the training that you otherwise as a single marpa just frankly would not have. And as you talked about, you have peers and structured cohorts and masterminds and you name it that are tailored around collaborating on best practices, the proven way, whatever resources or marketing and recruiting, you name it. those are genuine fears and concerns, and they have a real cost. Going out making mistakes, costly mistakes, and the time that goes into figuring all of that out, that is franchising. It's community, and that is the separator as people.
Yeah. Now, I mean, that's, you've been in a while, Nick, and, you know, and you've had an amazing journey yourself, and it's been, I've known you from pretty early, not the very early stages, but pretty early stages, and just watching people like you that I know is a good person. I know you're a good person. You care about people and you care about the work you do. And you've changed a lot of lives because of it. You know what I mean? And you got a lot of guys like you out there. And we need this. We need this in this world. And that's why I love it. Because I can watch
it.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, we can all be a part of it together. And it's not just the community within a franchise. That culture of franchising and franchise organizations extends. It permeates throughout the entire industry. And that's why it becomes a small world and, exactly. and a community, most certainly. So, Rob, I could chat with you all day. Thank you for jumping on the show. I certainly leveled up. If you made it here to the end, I certainly appreciate it. Drop a comment down below. And as always, level up.
Thanks, Nick.
Sweet.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show. Remember, it's never too late to get started on your entrepreneurial journey. Don't forget to subscribe, like, and share if you enjoyed today's segment. Catch us again next week and visit limepainting.com for more of the Level Up with Nick Lopez Show.